Well, if you have your Bible, I would encourage you to turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. There are certain characters when it comes to movies and drama productions that have been played by many different actors and actresses over the years. We think of some of the famous ones, such as James Bond and Peter Pan, maybe Sherlock Holmes. When it comes to the Christmas season and Christmas movies, there's Santa, there's Santa Claus, there's Ebenezer Scrooge. But none of these roles, none of them come close to the most portrayed characters in the history of film or the stage than when it comes to shepherds in Christmas plays, right? We've all probably been a shepherd or maybe an angel. And over this month of December, churches and even some schools are all doing different productions when it comes to the nativity scene with Mary and Joseph and all that. And so there's going to be all sorts of shepherds. And even tonight, there's going to be some very cute shepherds and some angels. And so I would encourage you to come to the children's Christmas program at 5 o'clock tonight. And one, they're going to help lead us and point us to Jesus. But you also know there's going to be one kid that does something tonight, right? Just a little bit of something there. And so some of the parents are praying, please don't let it be little Johnny or Susie or whatever, right? So I would encourage you to come tonight. Well, in our time this morning, we're going to be back in Luke chapter 2, and we really kind of are going to be camping out here for this week and next week. And last week, we began this series by really looking at it from the lens or the viewpoint of Mary and Joseph. And so we really kind of dug into that passage, that verse where Mary ponders all these different things and how we need to ponder and really treasure the beauty of this Christmas story. Next Sunday, we're going to look at this announcement that the angel gives and really kind of explore that and dig into that. I'm really looking forward to that. And this morning, we're going to look at it from the viewpoint of these shepherds. And we're going to discover these shepherds really have to teach us a lot. What we're going to learn from them is they not only hear, but they respond. They just give us a wonderful example. So this is where we're going this morning. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. We're going to walk through this, and we'll kind of go through that fairly quickly. And then we're going to spend most of our time looking at three important takeaways that we learn from this passage and really what we learn from these shepherds. And so if you have Luke chapter 2, look with me starting at verse 8. We read this, and it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were terrified." Now, in the verses before this and what we looked at last Sunday is Mary and Joseph have made this 90-mile journey from their hometown in Nazareth to Bethlehem. And the reason that they have made this journey is because there's this census, this tax census that has gone out throughout the Roman Empire. So this is not a fun journey. It's a long journey. It's challenging. And then on top of that, Mary is around 37 or so weeks pregnant. And so they finally show up in Bethlehem, and they have one really more hurdle to kind of get over, and that is there's really no room for them. They go to this place, this home, it's probably extended family, and there's no guest room for them, and so they have to stay in this stable area with the animals. And this, really this humble situation, this is where Mary gives birth to Jesus. Now, as all this is taking place with the birth of Jesus, a few miles away, this angel goes to this group of shepherds taking care of the sheep. Now, we're not entirely sure, and this is a little bit of a side note, but I think this is so interesting, is that these shepherds, many commentators and scholars believe, were taking care of the sheep that would then be used at the temple for sacrifices. So Bethlehem was not very far away from Jerusalem. And so I think this is such a neat connection. These shepherds taking care of those sheep that would be used as a sacrifice at the temple, they're going to receive this awesome announcement about the sacrifice, right? Jesus Christ, who would one day go and lay down his life as a sacrifice for us. Now, do your best to picture the scene, right? Put a little color to it, right? Kind of visualize this a little bit. This is a group of shepherds. They're doing what they do every night, kind of the same old thing. But kind of think about some of the things they're seeing, they're smelling, right? They're around animals and all this stuff, and it's dark. I mean, right, we have so many artificial lights. Everybody's got Christmas lights. Well, they don't have any of that. It's very dark, maybe a campfire, right? There's a coolness in the air. And it's on this night, really like any other night, when all of a sudden, this angel breaks in And what does verse 9 say? The glory of the Lord shone around them. It's pitch black dark. And then boom, out of nowhere, this angel shows up on the scene surrounded by this bright light in God's glory. And understandably so, they are terrified. And then the angel says what an angel always says when they encounter human beings. Look at verse 10. Do not be afraid, right? That's kind of like they always have to start there. Do not be afraid. The angel continues, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Now, next week, we're going to dig into this awesome announcement that this angel gives. But again, I want you to kind of be thinking of how these shepherds are really processing all of this. I mean, they see this angel surrounded by the glory of the Lord, and they're terrified. But then as the angel begins to explain what is happening, some things are beginning to fire in their mind. These were Jewish people. They knew the scriptures well, what we know as the Old Testament. And they had been longing for this promised one. They had been longing for the Messiah. And so though they're terrified, there's also this excitement as they begin to process what they've just heard. But really, I think as they're beginning to kind of get some of their terror taken care of, all of a sudden something awesome takes place. Look at verse 13. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. So this one angel shows up, been both terrifying and awesome. But then as this angel finishes his announcement, this what's called a great host or a great company shows up. Now, we're not told the exact number, but when you factor in different passages in the Old Testament, it's very likely that this means thousands upon thousands of angels covered in God's glory show up and sing his praises. Maybe you're like me. I love Christmas music and this time of year. And one of the things I enjoy, you know, you can listen on Spotify or Pandora or whatever, is when those choirs start singing and praising God. And that's awesome. But it would have paled in comparison to what is taking place with these thousands of angels praising the Lord. Look at verse 15. We find the response of the shepherds to all this. Verse 15, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. I love that. They don't sit around and kind of debate all this stuff. They immediately go and check out things, right? They respond to what they've heard and what they've seen. Verse 16. So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And so they run off to see Mary and Joseph. It was about a mile or two away, so maybe 20, 30 minutes to get there. And so they really kind of come busting into the scene where Mary's just given birth. And they see, just as the angel had said, this baby wrapped in cloths and lying in this manger. And then they begin to tell Mary and Joseph and those with Mary and Joseph. It was most likely some extended family, some others staying in that home. They begin to share all that they've seen and all that they've heard. And as we looked at last week, Mary is treasuring this and pondering all that she's been told by these shepherds. And then verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Again, I love the shepherds' response. They hear and they respond, right? They hear and then they respond to this great announcement. Now, in our remaining time together, I want us to look at three important takeaways that we can learn not only from this passage, but really from the response of these shepherds. And our first takeaway is this, is that no one is beyond the reach of God's grace. Okay, no one is beyond the reach of God's grace. You know, one of the questions that arises from this passage is why does the angel go to these shepherds? I mean, wouldn't it make more sense for the angel to be sent by God to Caesar Augustus? He's the emperor of the entire Roman world. Wouldn't that make more sense? Or maybe go to the governor in that region? I mean, the angel doesn't even go to Mary and Joseph right after the birth of Jesus. But instead, the angel is sent by the Lord to these shepherds. And so we have to ask why. Well, we're given some insight into this from verse 10. The angel says this good news. That means the gospel. Gospel means good news. It's for who? For all people. See, in that cultural setting, shepherds were on the low end of the social status. They were overlooked. By some people, they were despised. Their profession of shepherding was not this sought after position. And so when the angel goes to the shepherds, it's making it clear to the reader. It's making it clear to us that no one is beyond the reach of God's grace. That God's grace is available for anyone. Now, I want to apply this. I want you to think about this. And maybe this is you. There are many that come to church in this Christmas season. If that's you, first of all, we're so glad you're here. And maybe for you, you've not been in church for a long time. And I would say it takes a lot of courage to take a step into church. It can be very nerve-wracking. So I commend you for that. And so maybe you've been here for a few weeks hearing about the love and grace of God. But yet there's something in the back of your mind going, I don't know about that. You hear about God's grace. You hear about his compassion and his love and what Christ has done for you in his life and his death and rising from the dead. But yet the more that you think about that, again, there's something in the back of your mind going, I'm not sure it applies to me. You're thinking of some things that you've done in your past. Maybe some things that have been done to you. And for you, you think you're disqualified from God's grace. That you're beyond God's reach. But what Luke wants you to know, the author of this book, of this passage, he wants to know that God's grace is available for you. There are some of us in the room today where you don't necessarily think you're disqualified from God's grace, but yet what you are really struggling with is you don't think you've done enough to really clean up your life to become a follower of Jesus. This is one of the things I hear the most, is somebody's kind of wrestling with becoming a Christian. Right, they're struggling and kind of getting some questions answered. And then they get to this point where they're saying, I think I believe it. But you know what? They say to me, there's some things in my life I got to clean up. I got to take care of some things before I can cross that line of faith and put my trust in Jesus. And if that's you, I would just say this in love. And I don't mean this to sound harsh, but if that's you, you're missing the gospel. See, it's not that we do all these things and then God accepts us. No, we've been accepted. That's why Jesus came as a baby and grew into a man and went to the cross. He's accepted you. And so you need to put your trust in him. But I want to press this point a little bit further. For most of us in this room, we're followers of Jesus. That's why we're here this morning. But my question for you is this. Is there someone in your life that you think is beyond God's grace? Right, to my shame, there's people I've gone to school with that I've worked with. And as I got to know them, and some were even friends, I just thought to myself, there is no way if I share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ, or if I invite them to church, they would never come. But yet then, some years go by, and that relationship, we went our different ways, and then I find out they became a follower of Christ. I could have been part of that. So right now, I imagine I'm not the only one that's done that. I'm not the only one that's thought that. So is there somebody, a family member, a friend, a classmate, or a coworker that right now you think they're beyond God's reach? They're beyond God's grace. Well, would you right now in this moment make the commitment, or maybe I should say make the recommitment to engage with them with the gospel, to be praying for them? And so for me this week, I went through different people again that I thought, I'm not sure. And I just began to pour out and say, Lord, would you save them? Lord, would you open their heart to the gospel? See, what we're responsible for is inviting, for proclaiming, to sharing. But yeah, it's up to the Lord to open their heart. And so for you, can you think of that person that you believe is beyond God's grace? And would you commit to pray for them? To make that invite to church. Many people at this time of year are open to come to church. Would you make that offer so they can hear about God's grace for them? The second takeaway is this. God's fulfilled word provides confidence in his faithfulness. In verse 12, the shepherds are told that they would find this baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And after receiving this announcement, the shepherds hurry off. And just like they had been told, it takes place, right? God's word was fulfilled, just like he said it would happen. And again, what Luke, one of the things he wants us to realize and one of the things that he is pointing us to is that God can be trusted. See, God can be trusted by this sign, this taking place. But what Luke wants us to also realize is all the different promises that are being fulfilled in this moment. Now, obviously, we don't have time to go through all of them, but here's some of the big ones. All right, you go back to Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve are in this perfect relationship with God, but it's not enough for them. And so they rebel and they reject God. And they fall from really that special and privileged position they had with God. Their relationship was fractured. And you would think maybe God would just be done with them and push them out. But no, in that moment, we receive the first gospel announcement that through the seed of the woman, this one would come to restore our relationship with God. And then as you continue with this storyline of God's plan of salvation, as it continues moving forward, when you get to Genesis chapter 12, God goes to this older man, Abraham. And Abraham and his wife, Sarah, they're beyond their childbearing season. They can't have children anymore, but this doesn't matter to God. He can do the impossible. And so God tells Abraham, you're going to have a son. And through your son, all the families of the earth would be blessed. See, that promise that Abraham and Sarah received was furthering the promise that Adam and Eve had received. As the story continues, Abraham and Sarah do have that son. And that son, they become a family and then a tribe and then a nation, the nation of Israel. And eventually in their history, they have a king. And God goes to the second king, King David. And in 2 Samuel chapter 7, God makes this promise that through the line of David, that he will establish this eternal kingship. And so when the shepherds hear this announcement, this good news, this gospel proclamation from the angel, they know these promises and they're beginning to process this. And then as they walk in and they see Mary and Joseph, and then they look and turn and see this little baby lying in this manger, I believe for them, their confidence in God really just elevated. It's to be the same for us. That as we reflect on how God has kept his promises in the past, we are to have confidence that he will continue to keep his promises today and in the future. And so for you right now, right, what are you struggling with? What is causing you to not trust God? What are some of the circumstances and situations in your life? And it might be finances, it might be relationships with family or friends, it might be your health. And because of those hard and challenging situations, and they are hard and challenging, you're beginning to go, can God be trusted? Can he truly be trusted? And as we come to this passage, as we connect all these promises and how God has fulfilled his word, the answer is a resounding yes. We can trust him. You know, you and I, we trust in people that are consistent. Right, we trust in businesses that consistently deliver. The other day, I had kind of this bad experience one more time with this company. And I told my wife, I said, we're done with them. I'm not gonna use them anymore. And so we do that with businesses sometimes. We do that with relationships. So when we find that business or that relationship with somebody that we can trust because they're there every time, we put our trust in them. Well, how much more with God? He never has failed to meet his promises. You think about thousands of years, generation after generation, his promises never fail. And because he's been faithful and fulfilled those promises in the past, you can trust him today. You can trust him with your future. And then thirdly, we learn in this passage, the good news of Jesus requires a response. Okay, the good news of Jesus requires a response. What we find with these shepherds really is a picture, this kind of small picture, if you will, of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. See, there's four things that take place with them. They hear the word. They believe the word that they're told. They act upon it by going. And then they begin to share, or they begin to give testimony of all the ways that God worked in their life. And this is how it should be for us, that we hear God's word, but we move beyond just hearing it. And some of you are hearing God's word week after week after week. But yet for you, you need to move to that next stage. You need to believe it. And so we need to understand we hear God's word, and then we need to move to believing it. And then we need to show that we believe it by taking that next step that God has for you. See, many of you have believed, you've trusted, but there's a next step that God has for you. Maybe it's to be baptized. Maybe it's to be engaged. Maybe it's to share your faith. It could be a number of things. The Lord has put that before you. And you're kind of pushing back on him a little bit. You're not quite sure you want to trust him in that. And so we need to act. We need to be faithful to what he has set before us. But then we also need to share, right? These shepherds, what a wonderful example they are. They share the good news. And this should mark our life as believers. Right? Is there somebody in that circle of influence you have with family and friends or classmates or coworkers that you can share about the good news of Jesus? That he saved your life? That you have this amazing joy and hope in Christ? Would you share that with someone else? And so I want you to think right now, where are you at? What stage are you in? Are you in this hearing stage? And again, you're hearing and hearing. Do you need to cross that line of faith? What we mean by that is you hear and now you believe. You go from spiritually curious to now a believer and follower of Christ. For you, maybe you need to take that next step. And for you, it might be baptism. Maybe it's to be serving or giving or engaged in some way. And then for all of us, we need to constantly take those opportunities to share the gospel, to share your story, to make that invite. And so let us learn from these shepherds. What an amazing example they are. Let me just kind of press this one more time. You know, as I was reflecting over this past year, right, the year's about over, I've just been amazed at how the Lord has moved and worked. And this has very much been for our church a year of response. We've seen many people cross that line of faith and put their trust in Jesus. We've seen many people be baptized. We've seen a number of folks take that step to be engaged and to serve and to give and to share the gospel. And so for you, one of the reasons that you might be a little bit dry in your faith, right? One of the reasons you might be struggling with growing in your faith, you're kind of questioning God, it may be because you're not taking that next step he has for you. That you're hearing, but you're not responding. And so if that is you, would you hear God's word? Would you trust him? And would you respond to what he's called you to this morning? Just please bow your head and close your eyes for a moment. I want to give us some time to reflect. We've tried to do this the last few weeks. This is such a busy time of year, and I'm with you. I mean, I've got kids and all the different things. I think one of the biggest challenges, we're so distracted, we're stressed out a little bit. And so just, we have some time. I just want you to kind of pause for a moment. As best you can to block out those distractions for even just a few minutes. I got some questions, and all this may not apply to your situation this morning, but I want to ask you, where are you struggling to have confidence in God's faithfulness? What challenges do you have? Right, what challenges do you have with some relationships and some things that are headed your way? There's been a number of people in our church this past week that are facing deaths of loved ones, some health struggles, right? And that can cause you to question God's love, and can you trust him? But would you call to mind those promises that he'll never leave you or forsake you, that his love is there and it's made most clear by the sending of his son, Jesus Christ? It may be for you this morning that you're trying to earn God's favor. That instead of resting in the finished work of Jesus, You're going to your own effort. And this doesn't mean we don't work for the Lord and serve him, but that's not the basis for earning God's acceptance. So if you just feel exhausted by trying to make God happy with you, would you rest in his grace? Would you rest in what Christ has done for you? To lay down the striving. And maybe for you, what the Lord is calling you to and what you've been wrestling with the last few weeks is to move from hearing to believing. To cross that line of faith and put your trust in Jesus, who lived a perfect sinless life, who went to the cross, paid the penalty for your sin, who rose from the dead and is alive today. And if that is you, myself and our prayer team, Pastor Jack, will be up front and we'd love to pray with you to put your trust in Christ. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you for this passage. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we can never exhaust all the ways that you're speaking to us. Lord, I pray for those who are working and striving and trying to earn your favor and acceptance. Lord, I pray you'll break through that and they'll know that you love them, that you want to meet them where they're at right now. Lord, I pray for us in this room who are going through some challenges and we're beginning to ask questions and have doubts. Lord, can I really trust you? Would you bring to our mind your love and your care, your compassion for each of us? Lord, I pray for those who have not yet put their trust in you. Holy Spirit, would you continue to move and work in their heart? Would you give them the courage to take that step, to put their faith and their trust in you, Lord Jesus? Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that you're alive today. We praise your name and we ask all of this in your name. Amen.